Cardiff Garcia.
Yeah, normally we are broadcasting from inside a warm, protected studio, but today Stacy has dragged me outside into the elements, and I know it's going to be good for the show, but I don't much appreciate it at the moment.
Yeah, we are outside of our office right now, kind of on the sidewalk near Times Square in New York.
Yeah, we're standing in front of the Grace Building.
Yeah, in front of the Grace Building. There's snow and ice everywhere. And, okay, Cardiff, do you have your phone? Would you mind checking the temperature? Let's do a temp check.
I have to now take off my glove to turn on my phone.
Sorry.
To check the temperature. Yes. Hang on. It is now 22 degrees, and actually, that's better than you'd expect. So, awesome.
Yeah, it's warmed up. It is warmed up to a relatively balmy...
It was 12 degrees like 5 minutes ago.
22 degrees.
So, anyways, this is The Indicator. I'm Cardiff Garcia.
I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and we are outside, and it is so cold. And of course, the weather is not just a personal comfort issue at all. It also packs a big economic punch.
Yeah, that's right, because remember, the economy is a living and breathing and sometimes freezing thing. It's made up of people, people who shop, people who get haircuts, people who go to work.
People who go out after work. And all of those things get a lot harder in extreme weather.
So today on the show, through chattering teeth, the economics of weather. What happens to the economy when it rains or hails or just gets really, really cold?
When Jack Frost is nipping at our GDP.
Hey-ho! Let's go get some hot chocolate. Please.
Yes, hot chocolate. Hot chocolate o'clock.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Discover. Become a new card member, and at the end of your first year, Discover will match all the cash back you've earned, dollar for dollar. Learn more at discover.com/match. Only for new card members. Limitations apply. Support also comes from NPR sponsor, MailChimp. It might sound like MailChimp only does email marketing, but they can do a lot more to help your business grow. With landing pages, audience management, and automation, MailChimp. They do more than mail.
Today's indicator is negative 77. That is the temperature recorded at Thief River Falls, Minnesota, one night last week. North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and New Hampshire also temperatures in the negative double digits.
The culprit? The infamous polar vortex. Basically, a weather system that is usually above the North Pole came here to visit us in the U.S.
Andreas Prine is a research scientist at the Center for Atmospheric Research. He studies extreme weather for a living, but even he says that he was pretty shocked to see how cold it got last week.
This is very extreme. I totally agree, but I'm from Europe, so I didn't really experience this really cold extremes. I'm from Austria originally.
Andreas studies extreme weather, like the polar vortex, and he looks at the different impacts that the weather can have.
What is the economic effect of extreme weather?
It's really big.
Really big and getting bigger. Andreas says pretty much across the board, we are seeing more extreme weather events. He says climate change is causing more intense big storms like hurricanes.
And these storms are more expensive than they used to be, both because they're more intense and also because there are more people moving to areas that are affected by extreme weather, places like New York and Florida.
The biggest economic effect in the U.S. is coming from hurricanes. So for example, if you talk to insurance industry, they're most concerned about Atlantic hurricanes when they hit the East Coast. These are really the most expensive events and the most damaging events.
Andreas says that 17 of the 20 most expensive and damaging cyclones that we've had have occurred in the last 20 years. He says that hurricanes Katrina, Sandy, Harvey, and Maria all caused between roughly $70 billion and $125 billion each in damages. That was in destroyed property, flood damage, businesses being suspended or even permanently closed in some cases. He says hurricanes have emerged as the most economically destructive form of extreme weather in the U.S.
What is the second most expensive?
The second is really heat waves and droughts.
Oh. So
for example, 2012, we had a really big drought in the Midwest, and it's mainly the agricultural costs that are the driving costs there. And of course, it's also the most deadliest of natural disasters, I have to say.
Oh.
Most people, especially vulnerable populations like elderly people, are very vulnerable to heat events and droughts.
Andreas points out the drought in California a few years ago cost nearly $3 billion. That was from things like lost employment on farms, as well as insurance claims and lost agricultural productivity. So the second most economically damaging extreme weather event is droughts and heat waves. Number three?
Floods, I would say. For example, in Boulder, in 2013, we have a really big flood event in Boulder, which was very expensive. Then the West Virginia flooding, for example, in 2016 really expensive and cost a lot of deaths.
Andreas says that there are a lot more floods than there used to be. Extreme rainfall in the Northeast, he says, has increased by about 70% in the last 70 years. And also, he says, commercial insurance generally doesn't cover flooding, so those costs can fall to homeowners and business owners, and also, in some cases, to the government.
And that brings us to the fourth most economically damaging extreme weather event.
I would say severe convective storms.
Convective, like with a V?
With a V, yeah.
Convective. Okay. Okay.
Convective. Yeah, sorry. I shouldn't use this term. We are used to talking about it.
It's weather lingo. This is good to know.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about severe convective storms is that that can cause a tornado or large hail or very strong winds.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I know, convective storms. Who knew? And Andreas says convective storms and the tornadoes and hail they often bring with them cost more than $11 billion in damage every year.
And that brings us to the fifth and final kind of extreme weather. Last, and I guess in this case least, but it doesn't feel like that at the moment.
Especially not with wind chill.
No, cold weather. Andreas says that cold weather has a different kind of economic cost than storms. There's less property damage, but the cold is kind of like hitting an economic pause button.
Cold is more, the business disruption that it's the problem.
The polar vortex has been more extreme in this way than most cold fronts. Temperatures got so low that flights were canceled, businesses were closed, people were told to stay home, stay off the roads.
Andreas says that as we see more and more extreme weather events, it will start to be a bigger drag on the economy and on taxpayers. That's everything from insurance losses to property damage to business destruction.
No matter how you look at it, it will be an increasing burden on our economy.
One estimate put the economic impact of the polar vortex at about $5 billion so far.
So far.
So now it's moving east towards the East Coast.
Wait a minute. It's coming east, like New York east?
Massachusetts, Rhode Island. Yeah, could be New York. It's sort of the whole cold air blob is moving east.
Beware the cold air blob, Cardiff. It's coming for us.
Are you sure it's not already here?
No, it's 22 degrees. It's definitely not here yet. Today's episode was produced by Constanza Gallardo. Our intern is Willa Rubin. We're edited by Patty Hirsch, and we're a production of NPR.
Human behavior doesn't always make a ton of sense, at least on the surface.
I said, would you mind if I give the dogs a little piece of cracker with some hot sauce on it and without and see what they choose?
Hidden Brain, a spicy podcast about science, psychology, and why people do what they do.